Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving pranams at the lotus feet of God incarnate, the Purna Avatar of the Kali Age, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Sai Ram, good morning and respectful greetings to all our listeners from Team Radio Sai. Thank you, dear sisters and brothers, for your company on Thursday Live. We are coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, Andhra Pradesh, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The time in the ashram right now is exactly 40 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time, and this is your very happy host, Karuna, welcoming you to Morning Glory as I connect with you from heaven on earth, where the spiritual climate is always perfect. But right now, even the other climate, the weather is almost perfect. Overall, it's easy breezy, pleasant and pleasing, since the monsoon has been tracking normally in our neighboring states, and it is expected to bless us with this abundance very soon. The significant drop in the mercury and the gentle to strong breeze is comforting to say the least. Today is the 15th of June 2017, and I'm delighted to bring you another brand new episode of your favorite program, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. This interview has been conducted by my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti, and his guest is a well-known name in the Sai world, Mr. Abhimanyu Kaul, popularly known as Abhi K. This morning's episode of Fleeting Moments with Brother Abhimanyu Kaul of Toronto, Canada, will be followed by a live conversation, a live from the studio conversation, with one of the two RJs that I had missed out on during the special episode of Morning Glory when we celebrated the 5th anniversary of Thursday Live. Joining me live in the studio today, at the bottom of the hour, will be my colleague, Brother C.G. Sai Prakash. You may recall, C.G. was in Germany when we celebrated the 5th anniversary of Thursday Live, and Bishu was traveling at that time as he is right now. You see, my colleagues are Swami's ambassadors. They are performing his bidding as his instruments, encouraging devotees everywhere to remember Swami's divine words, and I quote his divine words. There is a set of people who trade on your faith. They advertise that I'm talking through a medium or some other thing. Treat all such people and their agents or brokers as you treat cheats. If you do not treat them so, then you are also accomplices. Then you are also accomplices in the cheating process. There are others who gather groups of followers and admirers and collect money. They even declare, Baba sent me to you to take from you some money, or Baba has given me this or that for you, or Baba has blessed me specially thus and thus, and then ask for your help or your praise or your purse. I ask you to chastise all these types of men and turn them away, whoever they are. Excerpt from a Divine Discourse delivered on 25th of November 1962 at Prashanti Nilayam. 1962, 55 years ago. Then Baba goes on to say, there are some who extol others for the absurd reason that Baba speaks through them. How silly. It's all drama which cheats sick minds. Do not fall a prey to these. That is why I say keep your devotion within yourself, under control, and do not be led away by crooks and self-seekers. These lead you astray by giving you a wrong idea of the Lord's manifestations. They befoul the faith that their sisters and brothers repose in God. Unquote. This is an excerpt from 15th of October 1964 delivered at Prashanti Nilayam. Well, with that not so subtle clarification from the Lord himself, let us now enjoy Fleeting Moments Part 1 with Mr. Abhimanyu Kaul. And on the other side of this interview, I will have Radio Sai's very own C.G. Sai Prakash joined me for a live studio conversation. So please stay with Bhagwan Baba on Morning Glory, and we are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, the abode of all things true, auspicious and beautiful. Have a listen, please.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations in Radio Sai with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. By Bhagwan's grace, we have today a senior alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning who had the opportunity to join Bhagwan's school way back in 1983, Brother Abhimanyu Kaul. Abhimanyu joined the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School in the initial years of its inception. Bhagwan started the school perhaps in 81, 82 and 83. The school had its accreditation with the Central Board of Secondary Education, with the Education Department of the Government, and that is the year when Brother Abhimanyu also had the opportunity to become a Sai student in Prashanthi Nilayam, and from then on he continued to pursue his bachelor's and master's, bachelor's in commerce and master's in commerce at the lotus feet of Bhagwan, which he completed in the year 1990. So 7 years at the divine lotus feet. After that, he wanted to stay on. He never wanted to leave the sacred presence of Prashanthi Nilayam and the proximity of Bhagwan. But Swami had different plans for him. Swami asked him to move to Delhi, where he worked for 10 years in various multinational companies, and then on divine instruction and guidance he moved to Canada. Here he was busy again in many companies, successful as a sales and marketing professional. But even as he was engaged in his roles in the corporate world, there was something else that was calling him from within, and this led to the emergence of his company, Values in Action Limited. Values in Action became the central theme of his life thereon. He experimented, he studied, he researched, he spoke to people, he conducted workshops and continued to get more insights and pray to Bhagwan for guidance as to how to infuse values into various professions, into various disciplines, into people of different age groups, into businesses, into individuals, into schools, into workplaces. And that is what he has been engaged in since 2003-2004. What came out of this is VID International, a concept wherein you have the focus as the school system, and he created this model school concept which he successfully implemented in the Caribbean. And he was there in Trinidad for 3 years, and there he was able to convert schools into Sai schools. In fact, what is really unique about this program, apart from many other things, is how the value education implementation happens for children who are as young as 3 years old. That is when the formal value education process begins, and he has been there, he's done that. And after the successful implementation of this concept in Trinidad, he's been busy refining this concept and sharing this with the wider world. So now he's engaged in implementing this in various other parts of the world, something in Sikkim, something in South Africa. It's happening in many other countries. He's basically now engaged in how to ensure that the world becomes a Sai world, and he in his own way, with whatever inspiration Bhagwan gives him, is busy trying to do his part. In fact, this reminds me of what Bhagwan has said when he started his first college in Anandpur way back in 1968. 3 years later, when he was there in Anandpur again to inaugurate the new building of this campus, and the president was there on this landmark occasion, Bhagwan had prophetically declared, "The seed has been planted. It will sprout and spread, heavy with fruits, providing shade, security and sustenance to all. He did not say to India, or he did not say to a particular group. And that is what we see today. We have Sai schools today, not only in different states of India, we have in different countries of the world. And now you have programs in India which are being done to bolster the schools. And you have programs also now in various parts of the world, apart from what is happening formally in the Satya Sai organization through the Institute of Satya Sai Education and Human Values. Swami has inspired so many people to engage in this sacred task, because this is a huge task, this is a momentous task, and this is one task which will revolutionize the world we live in. And we are very happy and grateful to Bhagwan, as always, for sending Brother Abhimanyu to the studios of Radio Sai. Welcome, Brother, to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Thank you, Sai Ram, Brother Mishu. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to come and share a few thoughts and remembering our gratitude to Bhagwan.
So, I am very eager to learn about your experiments and values, and I know, and that is something that you are also passionate about. But I think before we move on to that, let us hear about how Bhagwan inculcated those values in you. How did he draw you to him, and how that process of shaping you happened at his lotus feet?
Well, fortunately for me, I was born into a family who had already been pulled by Bhagwan into his fold. It was my grandfather who one day brought a picture of Bhagwan. I think it was 1968 that he brought a picture of Swami, you know, the black and white picture with a Abhayasta pose.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept it in the altar and told my grandmother, worship his God.
Mm-hmm.
And the family just accepted it. Mm-hmm. There was no questions asked. And he became part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody started getting attracted towards him. We were growing up in Balvikas. We were growing up in Seva activities. And wherever Swami would go in those days, he used to travel a lot in India. So many times my father would carry us and we'll be following him. I have been to, when he was in Bihar, he came, Delhi, Rajahmundry, all the places we have been traveling. So my childhood had, in the childhood I have seen, if at all, any God, that is Sai Baba.
Mm-hmm.
Any form of Bhagwan which we had to concentrate was Baba. Even though we are very Shaivites, we are basically lovers and worshippers of Shiva and Shakti from Kashmir. But as a divine form, that became Baba for us.
It's really interesting that everyone just accepted Swami without even a little bit of reservation.
I think the home environment also matters, you know. It is because the concept of God is very different. So it is, you know, we don't question many things, but acceptance in a true sense comes much later.
Yeah.
With your personal experience. See, it's one thing to accept, one thing to deny, and one thing to be neutral.
Yeah.
Life is accepted. So, in most of the cases...
So, I think given that we have very... in Indian families where the respect for the elders is paramount. So, you just...
So, it just carries on.
Yeah.
And it's fortunate that he introduced really a God into life. And when we accepted it in a very quiet manner, that started growing as the time passed. And with that, the feeling of knowing God started developing. And I happened to come here, I think in 1980, there was a Balvikas rally here.
So you were doing your schooling in?
I was in Bihar. My father was working as an engineer. So I was there with him. And we used to travel and come to Swami whenever he could. One day we all came as a family to Puttaparthi. And it was a Balvikas rally. So I was part of the Balvikas contingent. And I'm sure you must have seen some pictures of Swami's. There used to be a circle in the front of Mandir and
yes.
Ganesh idol.
Yes.
Next to Ganesh idol, Karunanidhi Swami was holding the umbrella for Bhagwan.
Oh yeah, that famous picture. Bhagwan is sitting there in front of the Ganesha.
And he's standing
beside
there. Yes, beside the Ganesha. That is actually when the Balvikas rally was going on.
Yeah. This is 19?
I think around 80. 1980 it is. 80. Yes. So that is where I was there.
Okay.
In that... And I have walked in that procession.
Okay.
You know, it's a fascination to look at Bhagwan in those days, a young, fresh, even though a tall person to look at, But he was big. If you look at him, he was so glorious, so attractive. And then you see everybody flocking around him, especially the students of his in those days. So there was a lot of buzz around Swami. I don't know, as a child, I was maybe in 8th grade or something, and I felt so attracted towards him. I told my father, I want to study here.
Really?
Because I found out that the only way you can be close to him was to become a student.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my dad, I want to study here. And dad looked at me as if like, do you know what it means to come here? It's like, you have to stay in a hostel, you're no longer with mommy and dad, you know, all that kind of scenario. Yeah. But he saw, it seems, he said, I saw a conviction in your tone and your eyes. He went to the principal and he met the higher secondary principal at that time. And they told him, we don't take any children in the middle. He can only apply after 10th. So I have 2 more years to go. But that got stuck in my head that this is a place I'm going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you were so captured with the place.
Yeah, it was so fascinating to see Swami. I used to run behind his car.
Even as an 8th grader?
8th grader, mm-hmm. We used to run behind his car, knocked at his window. Because, you know, in that procession, he'll be driving. I remember it was a birthday also, so, you know, he'll go to the Ishwarama Samadhi.
Yes.
Then he'll come out and then go to Gokulam.
Mm.
So I used to run behind his car. Mm. And one day, because I was very short and small, I could sneak between the legs of the Sevadal.
Yes.
And I reached his window one day.
Oh.
And he was sitting and knocked at his window. And he looked at me with a smile.
Wow.
So, like, you know, you're a little bit of childish pranks.
Yes, yeah.
But he allowed all that, and that remained in my heart very strong.
But something, I mean, I think perhaps difficult to describe, right? But something captured you about him, about the place.
I can't justify it. There's nothing logic of an 8th grader.
Mm.
I don't have any intelligent answer to that, like what attracted.
Mm.
But the pull was so strong that I felt this is my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you that story. It's a very beautiful thing. When I was finishing my 10th grade, I had, in my mind, I had the thing, I had to get good marks.
Mm.
Not because I had to get a good school, but I had to come to Puttaparthi, and in Parthi, they won't take unless I have good marks.
Mm.
So that was a kind of attraction for me, first. Second, what happened was, when we had applied board exams properly, to come here in the 11th grade, but the letter which arrived, it didn't arrive on time. In those days, telegrams used to come. So by the time the telegram came for my admission entrance test to Puttaparthi, it was the last date.
Mm-hmm.
That means my father, when he read the telegram, it was like, I have to leave today to reach Parthi on that day to get exam.
Oh my God.
And I was booked 2 days later. Because original date was something different. So I was booked, day after tomorrow I was booked kind of going to train to Puttaparthi. But that day I just happened to drive by post office and I stopped and he gave me a telegram. I went to my dad and said, hey, some confusion. And so it was like for some political reasons, the exams was preponed by 2 days.
Oh.
But the telegram came to us late.
Mm-hmm.
So when he read it, he said, okay, today only I can take you because your book is just 2 days after, but who will travel with you? I'm a 10th grader, you know, I can't travel alone.
Mm.
And my father had undergone that morning a piles operation.
Oh.
So he could not even sit. So it's very funny that, you know, when it came, he said, okay, I don't want you to feel tomorrow that because of me, you could not attend. So let us go.
Mm-hmm.
So we jumped into a train. It was a very funny journey. It's a beautiful story. Like, you know, when we started from home, we went to the station and there was no train.
Mm-hmm.
So then we had to go to another station. It's Mukama Ghat. It's a little 10 kilometers away. Then as we came out, there were other passengers who were trying to go to the same station. So they gave us a lift.
Mm-hmm.
And in all the seats that he was sitting, there were too many people. So he had a piles. So, you know, he wanted relaxation, but there were so many people that he had to be stuffed and sandwiched between people.
Oh God.
So because of that, it turned out to be a blessing, because he could not move and the pain was less.
Mm.
See, if you are relaxed, then, you know, you shake with the passenger, with the vehicle and the roads of India, those are not great.
Mm.
So it would pain more.
Mm.
But here what happened was in this pressure, he could not feel anything and we started traveling. And it was like a crazy two or three days journey. We have taken the train, then I think we came to Guntakal, we took a bus overnight to Puttaparthi, from Dharmavaram to Bulakkad, then so we have done all the tips off to reach Puttaparthi. And I reached almost half an hour late to examination.
Oh, you were able to come?
On that day, we reached. But I was half an hour late. And I still recall Mr. Ramon Rao sir was the invigilator of this examination hall. I walked in, he told me, relax, don't worry. He made me feel comfortable, he gave me the answer sheet and write. And I'll tell you a funny thing, because I've grown up in Bihar environment, you know, where examination is very happening place. People are copying very freely. There is a lot of noise in the examination hall, where everybody is busy looking at each other. And here I enter the classroom, everybody is writing. So that was shocking to me.
Seriously.
like nobody is looking here and there. And your heads are down, they're writing. And if you need a, you know, extra sheet, you just raise your hand and the teacher just comes and gives you.
Yes.
And surprising to me was that no teacher was even walking around the hall. You know, some people, invigilators, they keep walking around to check. But here nobody was walking. Even the teacher who was in charge of the class was standing in the front. And he was not standing to watch us. He was standing to help us in case you need water, in case you need paper. So he was like that, you know, very politely asking, do you need anything? So he was not looking at you that, are you looking here and there or not? So that was a shock for me. It's the first time in my life I've seen an examination hall where there are no invigilators. There are no persons standing on your head watching and correcting you or trying to stop you from looking here and there. Everybody was busy writing, and the teachers who were responsible, one was sitting on the desk, another was outside on the door. Just in case you need them, you just raise your hand. They would come and give you the paper, glass of water. So it was that. So that environment itself was like, wow, this place is different. You know, what you know you write, you don't know you don't write. Just shut up and sit down. And I finished on time. My dad was like surprised. He said, buddy, your English is bad. And the examination is only for English. How did you manage? I said, I don't know. But fortunately, when the results came out in 2 days, my name was there.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I think the journey started with Swami. And after that, it's really everything is history. Because then how Swami became alive in front of us, that is amazing. That is another journey for me now.
So your father was thick into the organization and he was part of the, you know, you came as a Balvikas contingent.
Yeah, he was part of the organization very much, office bearer. I think he has held many positions too.
Even at that point in time?
Yes. He was state level, center level, seva. He used to go around the whole state talking about Swami's life.
And so it was a very, very sci-fied...
Yes.
Family sci-fied environment. And from that, you organically, I mean, developed love for Bhagwan. And yes, he made you his student. So now, how was it looking at Bhagwan as a Sai student?
Well, that is a journey which is worth, you know, exploring. See, when you come, whatever you may say, Vishu, I'm sure you will also accept that traditionally the way we have been exposed to God is very different when you meet God in real flesh and blood. Okay? I'm sure all of us who have been with Swami can relate to that.
Yes.
Traditionally, we are told, God, look down, don't talk, he'll get, you know, upset God, angry God, and, you know, fear God. See, that kind of situation, we create and we made God into like a watchman or a policeman standing and watching over us. God was never introduced to us as a friend, as somebody more dear and loving to you. And here you land in Puttaparthi and people say this 5'4" is God. And he has got no such trait which we have been used to. He does not sit in one place. He does not pretend to be glorified. He does not even demand that you should worship him. He is not bothered about whether you know Vedas or not, whether you have any knowledge of scriptures. He is so matter of fact, he says, how much did you eat? Did you eat well or not? He spends most of his time talking on the portico, idli, sambar, your menu of the food, your dress? Why didn't you iron it? Did you have a good haircut? Did you study well? Do you need any help? You have a blanket? He would come and distribute socks, toothpaste, toothbrush. We have seen that Swami. And then to think that, is he God? What is his God concept? So literally, if you think about it, he shattered the old concept of God. From a God who is sitting in a pedestal in heavens, whom you have an appointment every Sunday to meet, or every day morning you go to the altar, break your head and come back, and that's it. Here he was a God who was not bothered what you do in Mandir. He was more bothered how you live your life, how you walk to the Mandir, how you do what you do after you going get out of Mandir. He just shattered that concept. And he becomes so, I would say, attractive, that it is a possessiveness that I feel. Today, hindsight, when I think about it, I feel, you know, as a youth, we want to own what we like. I won't call it love, but it's an expression of that age, that if I like something, I want it. Be it a car, be it a good, be it a toy, or be it a person. So here he was, the most attractive person on the planet, whom the millions were worshipping, and he was so loving to you that you wanted him. And the more you went closer to him, more he went away from you. So the chase of finding God gave you a different understanding of God himself. Like, I don't know when I truly understand, or today even I cannot say that I understand God, but I just don't know when he became God for me. Because I did worship him, I did say prayers to him, I did fold my hands to him in front of him, but I cannot claim to say that I did all that because I knew he was God. See, that term, knowing God, is something very big. But certainly there was an admiration, there was respect, there was awe that made me do all that. But when those admiration, awe, surprise, attraction converted into devotion and acceptance in him as a God, that is a very, very organic growth, which I may say. I cannot say that this point of time, wow, something happened and I became his devotee. Well, that I feel is too dramatic. It can happen in movies. You know, but in the real life, he just seeps, penetrates. He just flows into your life. And then you start wondering, oh my God, there was no second in which he was not divine. There was no minute that he was not God. There was no minute which was not beautiful. Can you imagine our arrogance of a student when we used to say, how was darshan today? And we would say ignorantly, oh, it was same. And then after 15-20 years, we used to think that, my God, what a blunder we committed by saying darshan was same. How can darshan be same? Because he was so different every day. Yeah. Every moment it was so fantastic. We used to crane our necks, fight just to catch every possible glimpse of Swami. Whether he peeped from a window or from the crack of the door, every gesture we wanted to grab. If it was same, then why would you crave? You have seen my face right now. After 5 minutes, if you see him on the road, you will just turn your head away and say, I just met him here. See, we are tired of each other's faces, but his, even if you have sat in front of him for like hours, the next second when he turns around, you want to catch that also. So how could we ever think that darshan was same? But it was such an, I would say, we are destined for that ignorant statements, you know. But that's why I said it's very difficult when people ask me, when was the transition, the change movement? I said, I don't know whether it's supposed to be there or not. Because he grows organically in you. From talking about food, sleep, habit, sit straight. How many darshans he has spent in teaching us how to sit straight. Now think about it, Bishu. God of gods, man. Who has created the whole gamut. Whom people have been worshipping for millions of years. People have done thousands of lives dedicated to have a glimpse. He decides to come down and does what? He talks about idli. For hours, he teaches you how to stand straight, how to walk. He taught me how to do public speaking. So, you know, these are nostalgias, but it makes me so humble and so, like, lost, my God. Like, God, did you come down to do that? You know?
Well, I think the master teacher that he is, he knows how to strike a chord.
Yeah.
So I think for everyone he has a way. For everyone he knows how to unlock each heart.
True. True.
So I guess that is how we all developed that kinship with him, isn't it? Because he asked us about Nidhi, and he asked about our exams, and he asked about how are our parents. He asked, he commented on our hairstyle, you know, whether we have shaved or not, and gave us shaving blades and razors. I think that is how we connected with him. And I think because only when we connect with him will we begin this process of discovering him outside before we begin to discover him inside.
True. Absolutely right.
So I think that's an interesting process, and the most beautiful thing about this is everyone's journey is unique.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you said that, you know, I don't have anything dramatic. It's very organic. Yeah, for you it is like that. Maybe for someone else it was dramatic.
It could be dramatic, yeah.
Nothing was happening like for 10 years and suddenly something happened. And, you know,
there are boys who had.
Yes.
They lived here for 4-5 years and nothing major happened.
Yes.
And suddenly,
yeah,
something happened and boom.
Yeah, then the whole complexion of the play changes.
Yes.
Yeah. But when you go back to your days in the school, you were brought up in a very loving family in Bihar, and the first time perhaps you're living in a hostel. What are your memories of being in the hostel in the initial days? Do you have any thoughts on how was that experience?
Yes. It is, you know, of course you miss the protective shelter of your parents, and there was many things which you don't bother at home. You wake up in the morning, your dress is in place, your food is in place, and your everything is in place. And it's just in and out of the house, you know, it's practically nothing. Hostel does make you grow faster, if I may put it in that way. But I'll tell you, people who have not lived in hostel, they have missed something. And people who have lived in hostel but not in Prashanti cannot imagine what happens in Prashanti.
Yes.
Because our hostel is much different. In other hostels, we have a challenge of acceptance, accommodation, adjustment. Here, Bhagwan has created such an environment that the concept of bullying, pressurizing, even does not even arise. Here it's a reverse cycle. So when you come to hostel, instead of some senior trying to show off that he's a senior, he comes forward to help you, carries your luggage to home, room, and puts it there. There is somebody who will come and help you to wash your plate. Just without asking, if they see that you need help, they'll just do it. And they won't even wait for thank you. So there are many occasions when I have not learned to say thank you because the person who helped me did not wait for thank you. He just did it and he disappeared. So you enter the kitchen, they are lovingly waiting for you and they serve you. And if you ask more, they say, first finish, we'll give you. There's a firmness in their voice, but there is a compassion, don't waste. So, you know, you see an environment which is very unique. And then, fortunately, Vishu, for us, I have been in that era where Swami was building these institutions.
Yes.
So, I used to think that I have missed out because my seniors have seen much. But today when I look at it, I was also blessed in that way, I can say that at least I had a glimpse of his managerial capability. You know? So you can see how Swami was building the hostel in college, school, classrooms. Everything he was doing it by his own. It is not something he delegated. He would come down to check everything. Even when how we eat, how we sleep, what are our beds, where are our bathrooms, where is our kitchen, how do you cook? Where do you serve? Like everything Swami himself has done. That's why today when I walk into the hostel and mandir, there is so much memories that sometimes it is overwhelming to handle. Because every stone has a story to tell. So in our time, I would say we had that opportunity to get the glimpse of his management style. like how he'll walk into the hostel and check the food, taste the food, then he'll teach you how to serve, when to enter, how to say prayer. See, all that program which today's children are seeing, they are actually implemented by Swami himself. So under that environment, initial months you do miss family, but later on, really you don't miss family at all. Swami becomes so powerful that you just wonder like how the 6 months have passed, how 1 year has passed, and they say, go home now. I say, what? Home? No, we don't want to go home. Then Swami had to literally kick us out of this place.
Yes.
He would literally be standing there and saying, get out. He'll take the vibhuti and start giving and say, go. And ultimately, if we don't go, then he himself would leave.
Yeah.
And he would leave and tell behind, do not follow me. So, you know, it was such a reverse order that initially we want to get out and now we don't want to go. And this happens, I would say, next 6 months time, you are done.
Yeah.
So I have seen that. So I feel blessed that way that we have seen that phase where hostel was new, college was new, school was new. So we had privilege of being first in many things.
And you saw how Bhagwan was shaping each institution. Bhagwan was giving a lion's share of his time to the students, to building these institutions. I mean, it was always there. Swami always gave a major portion of his day to the students. But in those days, this was the thing for Bhagwan. And perhaps Swami would have come to the school so many times.
In fact, we were the first person to invite him.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were in 11th grade. Yes, final years were coming by. Suddenly we felt that, you know, Swami has never come to school. He had inaugurated the building and he never came. And when anybody had asked him before, he would say, why should I come?
Mm-hmm.
Because he would come to hostel and then he'd say, I'm in Mandir, so you all come to Mandir. What is in hostel school? So there was no occasion to bring him. So we few friends, we just got together and we said, let us invite Swami man. It was such a like childish thought. And we told our principal, sir, Mr. Habu was there. He's a great soul. I would say gem of a man, great devotee, excellent principal. But his exposure to Swami was as a devotee, you know. See, there's a difference. When you're ignorant, you can take liberties. But the moment you get awareness that he is God, then you can't open your mouth.
Yes.
So when we told him, sir, we want to invite Swami, he got scared. He said, boys, you don't invite. It's all Bhagwan's. He wants to come, he can come. So we thought that, okay, this man is not going to invite. Because we understood in our way that he is having a different approach to Swami. Mm-hmm. And without telling him, that's our mistake, four of us went and sat in the front. Imagine Swami opening the door and he sees four of us sitting there. And he came, you know, he used to walk very comfortably. He came,
yes.
Emra, Emkawala, what do you want?
He
said, Swami, come to school. Can you imagine inviting Swami, come to school?
You are not the principal, you are nothing.
Yes, we come to school. Swami said, sure, what for? So he was also like child. He says, sure, what for? Kya hai wahan pe? What is there? So we had nothing planned as such, you know. We just said, Swami, music program.
Simply off the cuff.
Off the cuff. He said, we are all boys. He said, we can have music program, man. So he said, Swami, music program. Swami said, oh, very good. When should I come? So here we are expecting Swami to debate and say, no, nah. Here he is going with us. So we were not even prepared for these answers, you know. And he said, when should I come? And it was like, Thursday or Friday. Swami said, I said, Swami, whenever you want to come. He said, okay, next Thursday I'll come.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Thursday, good day, I'll come. He said, okay. So we were very happy that Swami accepted. Swami suddenly turned and said, Habu, he called the principal. He used to, poor fellow, used to sit at the back, you know, in the portico. At the end, he would sit in the last door. He would sit there in the pillar. So as soon as Swami called him, he came running and he had folded hands. I remember that clearly because we were scared now. So God, Swami is exposing us. And Swami called him, Habu, boys bulaya mujhko. Boys have called me. I'll come to school. We could see his colors change and he is nodding. He can't say yes or no, he is nodding, Swami. So, next Thursday, I'm coming. So poor fellow was like that. And, you know, you could see his, like, colors, and he's lost. And he went back. And we are looking down. We had no guts to look at him. And then after darshan, we met him. Bichar says, Sairam sir. Sir, Swami. He had no words even to express himself. He said, boys, you have invited God. Do you know that? So we just said, yes sir, we know that. Actually, we didn't know what is happening. Yeah. He said, okay, now we have to work hard. And then what happened for next 4 or 5 days, we should then realize what it means to call Swami. He had to repaint the whole building. He was organizing exhibition. He said, you can't just call Swami. If Swami is coming for the first time, then we have to decorate it. Then there was a school announcement, exhibition was created.
Okay, you had an exhibition.
So much science exhibitions were created, painting was created, chanting was taught to people. So school was getting busy. Garden was created because Swami is coming.
Wow.
It's the first time he's coming. So the whole school went upside down. And here we, bunch of us, who have really invited Swami, we had nothing to do with anybody because we are music boys. So we were preparing music. Can you believe that? So then we realized, my God, it's not just you call Swami. You have to understand that you're calling Swami means he's coming as a guest. If he comes on his own, then it's okay.
Correct.
But when you invite him, then there's a protocol to be followed. And that's the first time when we realized that we just can't take liberty like that to Swami. And poor whole school went upside down, preparing everything.
Busiest days, perhaps of the year.
I'm sure he didn't. He must not have slept. All the teachers must be awake for those 5 days because we made the mess out of it. And the good part was we had fun. He came and listened to our stupid songs. You know, it was fun. We were singing songs. I wrote a song for him that day. And he joked around with us. He was so informal, Bishop. If you look at those pictures of those days, you know, his body posture is very different.
Yes.
First time the coconut was offered to him.
Oh, okay, that picture. Swami drinking the coconut. Yeah.
So then coconut was offered every time he came. But first coconut was offered to him
then
at
the
that
coconut,
time. So Mr. Ramon Rao sir was, he translated his discourse. It was a fun time, but, and then next year only, we told Swami, sports day. And that time there was no sports day of our institute. 84 institute started. But before institute, we did our sports day.
So in 84, the sports meet of the university started in 84.
Yes. But before that, we did it.
Okay, school boys.
School did it.
Did it, okay.
He used to go to Anantapur. Our sisters did it first.
Yes.
They used to do there. So in the 12th grade, we were there in 84. We thought that we should call Swami for sports. And there was nothing prepared at that time. We didn't have even the stage in those days. If you recall, Ishwaramma's school had a stage at the back.
Yes.
It's a very old time.
Yes.
There was no stadium. Stadium was in two layers.
Correct.
Two levels.
Yes, yes.
The lower level was enough for us to play around. On the top level, only cricket was played and there was some small patch for long jump and all that.
Yes.
And the lower level, basketball court was there.
Correct.
So, if you all recall that, and there was a level down slope.
Correct.
So Ishwaramma's school had a stage at the back.
Yes.
And it was a barren stage. It didn't have side walls, roofing, nothing. It was a barren stage. And there's only stages available at that time. So we had our first sports day there.
Okay. Wow.
Which I don't know how many people even know that. And at that time, Puttaparthi was really a village. Eh? There was nothing available here. Everything, if you had to buy even a cloth piece or something, you had to get it from Anantapur. So our science boys, especially, they took up the task of designing the stage. They had to do the measurement. Because if you notice, it's in west facing. Stage is west facing. The mountain, behind the mountain, the sun sets.
Yes.
So we were calling Swami in the evening for sports. So when Swami will sit on the stage, the sun is setting in front. So sun will fall on his eyes. So we had to make a stage which will cover so much that the sun does not come in. You understand that? So we had to create a curtain kind of a structure in the front. Then there was nothing on the roof. So we asked for all the tirpals, you know, like that nylon sheets from a very dirty we found. We lifted it up. I went up on the top in the morning after Suprabhatam. So we realized it was so dirty that we didn't feel like that should be the cover. So what we did, we announced one night before in the hostel, all the boys who have white dhotis,
okay,
give. So we went to the warden, he had some 5-6 dhotis, we took his dhotis also. Everybody's dhotis, white dhotis were taken. And I think it was A floor, A9 room, big room it is. That room was converted into our workshop. So all the white dhotis with name tags on it given, and we put some school, senior school children there to stitch it.
Wow.
So all the dhotis were stitched. Can you imagine? Everybody's dhotis, white dhotis stitched, and the next day morning the dhotis were raised as a roof.
Wow.
Because it was dirty on top, the tirpal. So under that we had a white dhotis, and on the white dhoti then we hung little decorations. So that's how our stage was done. It was like a all makeshift, man, I can't tell you. We had nowhere to stand. So you know that podium where you have first, second and third people stand?
Yes.
That prize was winners. Kept. Winners steps.
Mm.
So that was kept. On the winner steps, the school leader was supposed to stand up and give command. And we had chosen almost two groups to do march past for Swami, to receive him. We were three boys chosen as school leaders. It was myself and Mr. Naidu's son,
mm-hmm,
and Vivek Mehta. And I was chosen as the main leader because of my voice.
Okay.
I could scream well, so I was chosen to be the school leader. So I came down from that roof finishing. Then we had children lined up. So our program were very unique. Imagine the first sports day, Swami was so excited. You know, you can see the childlike innocence of Swami. That first time sports day, yes, happening of the school. So he's very happy. And he says, no, children are performing, they need audience. Mm. So whom should we call? So he said, primary school, come for audience. So primary school were invited as an audience for us.
Wow.
Institute boys were invited as an audience to us.
Nice.
And school boys were performing. And we had no clue about it, right? And we had kept Swami's chair on the stage. Only chair was Swami's. And the challenge was, if you keep Swami's chair too front, then the sun will hit Swami's eyes. If you keep it too back, when the curtain is hitting, then Swami can't see what is happening,
yes,
right in front. Mm. So we had to keep it in somewhere in the middle kind of a scenario. And the science boys had calculated that the sun should not touch. Vishu, I'll tell you, that also is a miracle, it happened. Swami's footstool, if you recall, he used to sit on a revolving red chair.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Revolving, and those pictures are available.
Yes, we have seen those pictures.
And he had a cushion, that red cushion for, yes, his footstool, footrest.
Yes.
So that cushion was kept for Swami, and he's a revolving chair on him, and he's sitting. I'm just fast forwarding just to tell you the story. And his feet was on the stool. And we were all praying that Swami, the sun rays should not cross and touch your face. Because evening time, you know, you never know.
Yes.
You won't believe, Vishu, when the sun started setting, the sun rays are coming in front of Swami, like that. And it touched the footrest and stopped there.
Oh. Wow.
Sun ray did not go up his body.
Amazing.
Till there, it stopped.
Wow.
And it remained till there, till the end, till the sunset.
Amazing.
Sunset. So we could only, few of us could observe that, and he said, wow. Our effort was what? Very simple, yeah. 12th class boys, we are just trying to figure our scientific brains to fix a curtain up, man. But you know, we did our best. But look at that master. He showed us that, look, wow, what you've done is fine, but I've accepted it. So sun came till there, at his footstep, stopped there.
Awesome.
And then we had program. I think it was the first and the only time when pledge was taken in Sanskrit.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted it like that, and Mr. Habu, principal, like, wanted it. So can you believe, I was the school leader, standing on the first podium and two brothers on the side, and the whole school chanted the Sanskrit pledge, Vedamanuchya Charyante.
Beautiful.
So that was pledge, I think only time when in Sanskrit we took the,
yes,
whole pledge.
We always have the pledge, but it's in English. All the time.
But in Sanskrit, you know, dharmam, yes, satyamvada, dharmam chara, swadhyayan. That whole thing we chanted in Sanskrit. Swami was so happy. You know, you could see the beaming face of Bhagwan. So happy. And we had our dummy, you know, march pass also to take Swami from car to the stage and all that. We did all that small little funny thing. And then we had program. Can you imagine? Guess what program we would have done. We had fat boys race. Three-legged race. Lemon and spoon race.
Wow.
And only thing decent was 100 meter sprint.
It was really fun time. Absolute
it
fun.
It was a fun because our intention was only to make Swami happy and our time. Yeah, there's nothing like winning or losing kind of scenario, you know.
Yeah.
So everybody had a good time. It was so much fun. And when Swami finished that whole thing, he was so beaming with happiness. He came down from the stage. He blessed everybody around. He gave us namaskar. He was so happy. And then he went on the car, and as the car started, he rolled the window down, and he, like, you know, he took his head out. He said, "I have something special for you in the school."
Oh.
So we four, five of us, we were waiting for Swami, you know, we opened the door for him and he sat down.
Yes.
We started running behind his car. Because he said, "I have something special for you." As he boarded the car. So he ran to the school and there he had kept ice creams.
Oh, wow.
It was a surprise from Swami. So we finished our sports day, Swami left and we went there, we saw ice creams, we came back and distributed ice creams to everybody.
Wow.
That was our prasadam. That's how the first sports day of the school happened. What a memory, eh?
I'm speechless. Amazing. I mean, when you think about it, just that pure thought, you know, you had that pure thought of being with Swami, you know, to make Swami happy. And see to the extent Swami goes to make you happy.
I don't think that sports day ever happened for school separately because we got merged with the college and everything.
Yes.
So that was the only occasion which our class got.
Yes. And he made it really the most memorable time of your life, perhaps.
After that we had a college, you know,
that
college drama and then that march passed. Then it started growing.
Growing, yeah. The huge program.
But imagine the short, small seed was that fat boys race.
I can't even imagine how much Swami would be laughing and beaming looking at the fat boys race.
Three, four items. That was a sports day.
Wow.
When the master came to see that, it was so much fun. First music program was done by us. First sports day were done by our class. We, in fact, did the hostel garden.
Mm.
So, you know, it's like an initiative that you think that
everything's coming up. And I think whenever the boys took any initiative, I think Swami was there to, you know,
double it.
You know, give them his all so that they grow.
I've told this story before, you know, about food.
Yes.
So when we started here, it was a very funny thing. First week, sambar rice, morning, evening, afternoon, every time. And we are from north. I had friends from America. We had class boys who had joined at that time from Mexico, America, UK. So we had a little bit of, you know, variety in our sessions. And nobody was opening mouth because, you know, everybody was told at home that, buddy, you're going to God. Behave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had no idea as to how to approach. That time, after 1 week, Swami has come out. And Swami used to ask every evening. That was the only relieving point in the day, you know. You go to Mandir, he's standing in front. How are you boys? And he'll play with you. He'll walk around with you. And that used to fill you with joy.
Yes. And he'll be up to something.
Yeah, he'll be walking around. There are no fixed lines. He'll just put his feet like that.
Yes.
He'll turn his feet and you make a line.
Yeah, you create a path.
He'll create a path right there.
Yes.
So with his eyes, he'll show you and you made a path.
Yes.
So there was a lot of communication with Swami in those days in that manner. So after 1 week, Swami came out and he said, "How are you all?" So we screamed, "Good, Swami. How is the food?" Nobody said anything. So Swami said, "Eh? How is the food?" And somebody from like a very half-hearted, "Yes, Swami. Good, Swami. Emra, what did you eat today, breakfast?" So sambar rice, Swami. Sambar idli, Swami. "What was the lunch?" "Sambar rice, Swami." So he heard two, three sambars and Swami said, "Hey, warden." So he called him, he said, "What is this you are cooking?" So he said, "Swami, sambar rice." He said, "What sambar?" He said, "Because you like sambar, doesn't mean all my boys like sambar. They are from everywhere, North India, outside, so you can't give them sambar. He said, okay, I'll change. He said, how can you change? You are also from South. You have no idea. Come, let me show you. He took him inside, and you will not believe it. He made a menu.
Oh, wow.
He made a menu. And then he came out and says, boys, I made a menu for you for tomorrow. And the menu was next day, I don't recall because 2-3 days for me, 3 days he made like that. It was like parathas.
Oh.
And he had a potato curry separately. Then lunch we had dal and a curry with one roti and rice.
Wow.
So evening when he went to darshan, can you imagine our joy and... So as soon as Swami came out, we are beaming with happiness. And Swami said, how are you? There's a huge chorus in the podium. Everybody's screaming, very happy, Swami. And Swami was smiling. He said, huh, what is tomorrow? So Warden said, Swami, we'll repeat. He said, hey, you can't repeat. Jesus had today. How can you repeat the same food? Come with me. And he took him inside. Again, he made a menu.
Wow.
The next day we had some different, like, you know, chow mein was there one day. One day was bread sandwich. So he was giving us some variety from different parts.
Amazing.
And then next day, after 3-4 days, Swami said, boys, now I made for the week.
Oh, he did the menu for the entire week. Wow.
So 3 days he monitored, then he made for a week, and then he told the warden, now repeat in 10 days.
Amazing.
So the boys can get flavor. He said, you can't give them the same food every day. So imagine the concern. It happened to such an extent that when we went home, I clearly remember my mom asking me, you are becoming too, like, you know, moody now. Because I said, in hostel we get different food every day. So how can you give me the... And if you look at homes, we usually have the same breakfast every day. Hardly we change. But here, Swami had spoilt our habit because he was giving us one day Chinese, continental, South Indian, North Indian. Sometimes we have puri, sometimes we have roti, sometimes dosa, idli.
Yes.
So it has a variety going on here, man. And you go home and you eat the same thing. So obviously there's a question mark like, hello, something is wrong. So that was Swami. And he spent that time in doing that. Can you imagine coming out in his hand, boys, I made menu for you.
Wow.
And after 1 month, I think he came and told us, now Pet Puja is done, your stomach is full, God is forgotten. So, he said, no, Swami. And it was again a joke. Then he hinted, then seniors told us, Swami wants to come to hostel now, so get ready. So then the invitation started, Swami, please come. And he would happily accept it. And then when Swami came first time, I remember... That time we realized the grandeur of Bhagwan coming to hostel. He could come in any time. There were times when Bhishu has come in the morning 6:30.
Oh my God. You didn't have your bath.
Yeah, it's a dangerous time. You know, there were times when boys were having brush in their mouth and going from one room to another. And suddenly Welfare saw a red robe in the middle of the portico in a quarter angle. He looked at it and said, is it Swami? Like he couldn't believe it. So early in the morning.
Yes.
How can Swami be there? So he kept staring at Swami for some time. He didn't believe Swami is there. And suddenly somebody else came, hey, do you also see Swami? You know, it's like that. And then both of them screamed. And the whole hostel came running and Swami went.
Oh.
And then in the evening, in the portico, Swami was ragging every boy. He said, you fellow, at 6:30 you're doing brush. You're supposed to get up at 5 o'clock. You are taking bath. How do you walk? You don't even look here and there. So, you know, Swami was joking and telling everybody how they were. So, it was so kind of embarrassing but challenging to, my God, Swami can be here anytime.
Wow.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory. Today is the 15th of June 2017 and we are coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the abode of Supreme Peace. The current time in the ashram is exactly 38 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time. And you just heard a hilarious and very engaging episode, part one of Fleeting Moments with Mr. Abhimanyu Kaul. You can catch part two, which is the conclusion of this interview, right here on Morning Glory on next Thursday. Meanwhile, I request you to please share your feedback, thoughts and suggestions regarding today's episode of Fleeting Moments with Abhimanyu Kaul. As always, you can direct your emails to listener@radiosai.org. And now, the moment I had promised you on 25th of May 2017, when I had all the remaining RJs of the various segments of Thursday Live in the studio to mark the 5th anniversary of Thursday Live. So there were two people missing, and out of them, one is here today. So today I have the honor of welcoming Brother C.G. Sai Prakash, and I'm quite hopeful that sooner than later we will have Brother Bishop Rushdie join us also on this show. With that, I want to welcome C.G. Sairam, Brother C.G., and a warm welcome to Morning Glory.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we missed you on 25th because you were in Germany at that time, so I guess today is a day you have to make up.
Right, I'm back in Parthi now.
That is good. It's good to have you back home. CG, you've been associated with Thursday Live in some shape or form right from the time we were planning this. Now, when you look back into the rearview mirror of Thursday Live, what do you see?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because initially I was not involved in RJing at all.
But planning you were.
Yeah, I was involved in planning, because then we thought this would be a good platform for people to come up with new programs every week. And, you know, otherwise making programs arbitrarily wouldn't have a focused output. So people did take to it, and I was very happy in my room thinking, okay, we have started something different, and I saw people RJing and the Thursday Live really catching up. But there was one slot which was actually scheduled for the Hindi programs, and they really didn't have anybody to run it consistently. So that's when this whole idea of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam came up. And in retrospect, it was 100% Swami's plan, because the way the entire program started and the success it had and the way Swami really held it together is something really, really amazing. So if you were to ask me what was my main takeaway from Thursday Live, I would say, Mookam Karoti Vachalam. I had never spoken in front of the mic. Hardly, actually. Hardly came in. I was always on the other side of the mic, rather with
behind the camera.
Behind the camera. I don't know what's about these seats here in the studio. The moment you sit on them, you lose all track of time. It's basically Swami taking over. That's all I can say.
Very true. I can easily relate to that. Mm. But then, you know, first when you said it was the Hindi slot, I thought, what, they picked you for the Hindi slot?
Absolutely
but
not.
Dear listeners, now that our CG has spent some time in Delhi getting trained at the Discovery Channel, maybe one of these days he will also Mukham Karoti Vachalam, he'll be speaking away in Hindi, because his Hindi has improved tremendously.
I hope the auto drivers in Gurgaon don't listen to my conversation, because they've had enough of it.
Bhaiya, kahan se aayo? Kis gaon se? Because of the way you speak. Okay. Now, in this whole progression from being the person behind the video editing, the camera and the audio editing, to coming on live,
yes,
what was the toughest challenge for you?
I mean, the first series that we started itself was very, very ambitious in a sense. Now, on one hand, we claim that Swami's message is so lucid, so simple, so easy to understand and relate to. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea that came up was, why don't we play a portion of Swami's discourse and then discuss on that? So what are we going to discuss? I mean, when we already say that it is so simple, what is there to discuss about it? So initially there was a kind of a contradiction of sorts. But when we started the session, then we realized it's more a frank discussion of our understanding of that concept. So that was a very big challenge because, you know, you're taking directly Swami's words and you're not referring to something, you're listening to it right there and then. Mm. And as we listen to that, so many thoughts, so many experiences, so many insights that Swami has been teaching us all through come to mind. But there was one portion in this entire Shravanam Mananam series which was particularly challenging, and even now I don't get the grasp of it completely. In fact, it's quite technical and it's very complex. Maybe listeners who have heard that entire series would remember. There was this portion on Panchikritas. Panchikritas are, you know, the sub-elements. There we have five elements. Now Swami was explaining to us how the entire creation came about. And he says, the subtle aspect of the five elements combine with 1/4 of the other elements, and that
what
gives
mathematics, chemistry, and physics.
It's quite complex. And he says each element divides into 1/4, 1/4, 1/4, 1/4, and the gross aspect of it combined, and they form the sattvic aspect combined, the rajasic aspect combined. So the whole thing is still a mystery, and how the panchikritas gave rise to the whole creation. Even now I really don't get it. But that was something really mind-blowing. I mean, that was one of the toughest challenge we faced in that particular series. And also, the whole concept of Atma, I mean, when we came, because the whole 1990 was a progression. It was a progression from the body, the senses, the mind, the intellect, and the Atma. And
those were the discourses that you were...
There were about 16 discourses, and... as we were going through from discourse to discourse, it was like graduating from class 1 to class 2 to class 3 to class 4. The syllabus was getting tougher and tougher. And when we actually came to Atma, what is Atma? The best described is in silence. I mean, you just have to keep silent. That's it. That is the experience of... So it was quite challenging, especially since we very well know we are really not there. We are trying to understand, we are trying to explore, but, I was just thinking about it. Generally speaking, people would maybe think that getting the right kind of guests or, arranging the logistics, trying to invite the right person would be a challenge. But clearly in our case, it was not.
How do you mean?
I mean, because me and Prem, who were co-hosting that show, we would walk out after bhajan in the morning and we would look at a person, and together we would think, okay, maybe he's a good guest. Why don't we just ask him? You will not believe this is how we got our guests. Absolutely guided by Swami.
Some random chaos.
there was no planning at all. Uh-huh. And means there was no need to plan, rather. Because we would go, we would think, oh, how about this person? I would say, fantastic. And you know, about 90% of the people who came as guests on that show, yeah, which we ran for 1.5 years,
right,
most of them said that this particular series was very inspiring in their lives.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? This kind of synchronicity where effortlessly things fall into place, that happens all the time in Prashanthi Nilayam.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the very obvious challenges were not at all a challenge for us, because they were not tough at all, because he was taking care. The subtler aspects of thinking that, oh, we are running the show. Oh, maybe really we have understood something of what Swami is saying. Then he knocks you on the head. I'm sure most of the listeners will remember how the last episode of the Shravanam Mananam Swami linked it back to the name. I mean, that we have spoken about quite a few times.
But feel free to repeat if there are some new listeners. I always love that story.
Okay, fine. I mean, as I was just mentioning, because the Hindi slot was really not kicking off. So we came about, why not we do this series called Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. And this name just popped into the head, because we thought of the format where we will listen to Swami's discourse and then we will
reflect
upon it and actually speak it. We are supposed to follow it. Nididhyasanam is actually following the message.
Yeah.
But I think at least let us speak about it. So, Shravanam Mananam Vachalam we should have put. We put Nididhyasanam. So, anyways, so we ran this show for nearly a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how much time these 16 discourses of Swami took, because we didn't omit any portion of the discourse. We played every portion. And when we actually announced the name of this slot, people said, can't you come up with anything smaller?
And quite a tongue twister.
Yeah.
I always in my emails wrote SMN.
SMN, that's what. It was SMN. But who knows why we chose that name and how that name got chosen? And they said, I don't know, it came strongly, so let's live with it. So now the beauty of the whole thing was we had to wait for 1.5 years to realize. I mean, we knew it in the back of our mind that we are not doing it and Swami is the one doing it. But at the end of 1.5 years, I was in Hyderabad when it actually happened, because Prem, who was selecting that portion of the discourse, the last clip of the discourse, to be played on air, suddenly called me up and he said, hey, you know what happened? I said, no, I don't know. Is the clip ready? Is anything the problem with the clip? He said, no, man. He said, the very last line of the last discourse, Swami says, this is Shravanam Mananam Nidhityasanam. And it was quite out of the context because he was talking about practice. He was talking about
Ide
Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam Hari Bhajana Bina Shukasha. So the last line of the last discourse, he says, this is Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, and he immediately goes on to the bhajan.
That's divine validation.
For one moment, like, we were totally...
Now you know where the name came from.
Totally shocked.
Dear listeners, I want to remind you, we always say the producer, the director of Radio Sai is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Like, do you need more proof? Really, this is how it runs here. Everything goes.
That's how it ran. And the way, you know, guests came in and the way, you know, everything ran. There's another very beautiful incident which happened in the course of the Shravanam Mananam series. This is also, this was a very fundamental doubt in my mind. Because there is always a technical side and there is always a non-technical side to everything in life. Okay, so spirituality. Somehow when people start speaking about spiritual experiences, you start wondering whether the experience drives you to be a spiritual person or not. Or spirituality is beyond experience, is beyond logic, whatever it is. So there is oftentimes, you know, there is this reference made to the Kundalini Shakti, the energy that rises up your spine and all that. So in the course of our Shravanam Mananam series, there was a section where Swami actually mentioned about the Kundalini Shakti. We had a guest there in that session, and I asked the guest, I asked, sir, what actually happens? I mean, when you are taking to spiritual practices and when the Kundalini actually rises up, what is the experience? Does the person feel that he is different? Does he feel that the energy is rising? Does he feel, does he look at things differently? What happens actually? The gentleman gave an answer to the best of his knowledge, and it was okay, and we kind of got some grasp over it, and we passed. We said, okay, that's fine, and we went across. Then the next day, I get a mail from a devotee from Argentina. So she says that this is a very technical question, and the guest, with all due respect, did not do justice to the answer. But I would like to suggest to Sai Prakash to read a book called Chit Vilas Shakti. This is written by Swami Muktananda. And he is a disciple of the Swamiji from North. So he was saying that, she was actually telling, you read that book. Because there he has very beautifully and very explicitly recounted all his experiences. When his energy, Kundalini Shakti, was actually rising. And what all kind of mystical divine experiences he had. So I said, thank you so much. I'll definitely look for the book. And I tried looking on Amazon, tried looking online, everything. And the only thing that was available was a Hindi version. You were mentioning about my...
The universe is pointing you towards a certain direction. Learn the language, CG.
So I said, my God, I could barely handle... Okay, this was much before I went to Gurgaon. But I can hardly handle anything in Hindi. Forget reading a technical, spiritual, technical... What do they call chakras in Hindi? I mean, it's just impossible for me to
chakra,
read.
Chakra, by the way.
Whatever. So I said, I'm not getting anywhere with the Hindi version. And then she sends a mail saying, you know, there is actually, I forgot to mention, there's an English version called Play of Consciousness.
Okay.
Then I said, okay, I'll try to get that. When I go to Bangalore, I'll try to pick it up. So actually a month... Nearly 2 months passed after this conversation, and I was thinking, okay, when I go, I'll try to get it. I tried asking people. They said, no, we have not seen that book. So I just left it. I said, the universe has to get it back to me, whatever. And one of those days, very surprisingly, at home, I was trying to rearrange my stuff and rearrange some of the books that my father had, and bang, there the book was. The book was right there at home.
In your father's collection?
In my father's collection. And so I went up to him and I said, this is the book I was looking for. I told you about it. And he said, oh yeah, I bought this book. I forgot all about it. It was right there at home. And the beautiful part of that was, when I got the book in my hand, that day I get a mail from the same devotee from Argentina. She says, today is Thursday. This morning I got up and I prayed to Swami that something beautiful should happen today. And I told my husband that possibly Sai Prakash has not got hold of that book. Why not I buy one copy and actually courier it to him? And her husband said, go ahead. I mean, why did you waste so much time? You should have done it long back. Why did you? She said, no, I just thought he will get it on his own, but maybe I will get a copy. And I just sent her a mail saying that, don't worry, I've got the book.
Imagine the synchronicity.
Just imagine, this is on this side of the world and that's the other side of the world. But again, I did go through the book, and that one question which I had in my mind was very, very beautifully answered in the book. Mm-hmm. In the book, he explains his entire, journey with his master, and how he had these out-of-the-world experiences. He actually saw light, he heard sounds, he heard music, he was floating in some other sphere of existence. So it's all very mystical and very beautiful and all that. But the main point he said was, I did not learn meditation. I did not learn any technique. I did not learn how to focus my energies. I did not learn Kundalini Shakti. Nothing. It happened on its own because I loved my guru. That's all. He said, all you need is love, love, love. And so, this comes back to me, because when you hear Swami's discourses, when you say, he says, nothing is needed, only love.
In the end of all that fluff, the only takeaway is pure love.
Love. He says, if you love God, if you love your guru, if you love God, nothing else is required. Everything comes on its own. So here is somebody who has actually gone through the entire, the range of experiences, if you may say, and he is a realized master. But he says, nothing is important except love. And that was the answer I was actually looking for. And that was so revealing, because when the way the whole thing happened, like Swami is actually giving me the answer and he's triggering somebody on the other side of the world to respond back and for me to again read that book and get this conclusion. It was just superb.
Wow, it is. It's a beautiful, real life example of how God is guiding everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it just...
And everything has a perfect moment. You could have found that book sooner, but you were meant to wait. There's a period of yearning, looking, seeking. Yeah. And at the right time, it fell into your lap.
In fact, one of the most beautiful sentences that I have, for me, when I was reading Conversations with Sai Baba, Dr. John Hislop's Conversations, I have quoted it oftentimes. Thing is, he says, Swami, we know all this now. You have told us all this. We have understood the philosophy of all this. We have understood that we are not the body senses. We are the Atman. All this we have understood. So am I a realized person? Swami says, no. Then he says, why am I not realized? Why are we not able to realize? What is blocking us? Why are we, not getting there? And you would expect a very profound and a very, glorious answer. Swami says, you're just not interested enough.
Oh dear.
That's it. Uh-huh. You are not interested enough.
Enough, yeah.
That's it.
See, because in my head I know you're God, CG, but I'm looking at you, I'm talking to you as an individual entity.
Yes.
And I'm saying, okay, you are CG, you're not Arvind, you're not Prem, you're not Vishu, you're CG. But actually, I'm supposed to think that the same flame is within my heart and your heart and everybody's heart.
Absolutely.
Out there on the road. So, but I know it only in my head. I'm not interested enough.
Yeah, you can't. And so he says, if you're interested enough, in fact, he says, even to read a complicated book, to read a difficult book, it takes effort. And you make the effort to do it. You're just not interested in God.
Oh dear. I feel awful.
But that's the truth.
Yeah.
And so he says, how do you get interest? He says, through love. So the more you love him and you say, I love God, that is priority one in my life, nothing else can take that priority, then you have a chance of getting somewhere. Say that.
I see. Okay, Siji, I'm going to just, as much as I'm enjoying what you're sharing, I'm going to fast forward the conversation slightly because I know that you have been spearheading this whole effort here in Radio Sai to take us to the next level where we are going to be hyper-focusing on the digital platform. Can you share with the listeners a little bit of where you're coming from and why the need?
How much time do we have?
All of 2 minutes, that's 60 that's seconds, but go on, your time begins now.
Yeah, because we have been talking about it all the while, and after I had this wonderful training at Discovery, I just realized that when Swami says something, he is giving it with that perfect understanding and the perfect experience of what he's saying. So, you know, the perspective is so pure. His words are so pure and so ultimate. The words are very simple. Love all, serve all is such a simple, you know, sentence. But the what it connotes is, you know, you can spend lifetimes trying to understand what it actually means. And it means different things for different age groups, for people from different countries, from different backgrounds. So one thing what I realized is we should try to focus on the ABC of media, which is audience, brand, and content. Of course, we don't use the word brand here. We use what we stand for, rather.
For Bhagwan.
Quote-unquote brand. Okay. So, but audience, we cannot speak to everybody. Only Bhagwan, actually in one discourse, every word he spoke would mean different things to different people. And now, again, the same challenge. When he has already spoken it, what are we going to add to it? All we can do is take his message, try to present it to a specified audience. So here we thought, let us start with youth. Because now the youth, when in my experience in Delhi, I found that youth have everything. They have, you know, energy, they have money, they have happiness, they have everything. But when they have a problem, they don't have answers. So, and Swami has given answers, and he would say that don't spend this precious youth away. Hold on to it. So we were thinking of focusing this message to youth, and the language the youth speak is social media. So if you want to really reach out to the youth, you have to speak their language. Mm-hmm. Like one of our one of the media experts, you are saying, just think of it as a new language. Mm-hmm. It's a new language with its own alphabets, with its own grammar, with its own approach. So we want to take Swami's messages, present them as short episodes, as short clips, or as short themes in a language which the youth can relate to, and in which will be very helpful even for parents of, alumni to explain who Swami is, what Swami stands for to their children and to their families. So the whole initiative is trying to see how to make it youth friendly. That's the whole idea.
Well, that's really nice to know, and I know the millennials are the target audience.
Right.
And the...
In our case, not the target audience, the fortunate audience.
The fortunate, yeah, very well.
We're not targeting them.
Yeah, the fortunate audience who need the guidance, and Swami has the answers for them. And I think I'd like to know more about this perhaps at a later time because, dear sisters and brothers, our gentle brother Prem has already walked into the studio, so we don't want to bulldoze our way and eat up more of his time. So on that note, I want to thank you, CG, for joining
me
this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
And sharing your perspective about your 5 years of RJing experience and what to look forward to. And I hope to have Bishu here sometime soon. Thank you. And dear listeners, before we close, I just want to share one quick experience. Last week, I'd asked a question about, to my listeners, what were the first three words that came to their mind when they thought of Swami? And many of you answered. And one person who's a regular listener, Brother Yoga Kumaran Nadaraja from Toronto, Canada, he sent his answer a bit late, so I couldn't announce it. But then he explained to me, and because, you know, earlier CG was talking about how everything here is so synchronized, I want to share this one, and then how Swami said, in the end, it's all about love. So the brother wrote that I asked for three words, but four words came to his mind, which was, we love you, Swami. Because there were four, and he's such a stickler for following rules, he didn't send his reply, he hesitated. And he was on night duty, it was late in the night in Toronto, and he works in a college in the area of security. And that's when he walked into a classroom, and on the blackboard, he saw three words written on the blackboard. And it was, I, and there was a heart drawn, and somebody didn't love Baba. It was written on the blackboard for him. He said it was just there. He opens a classroom, an empty classroom in the middle of the night to find I love Baba written on the blackboard. Now, how much of synchronicity is there in everything that happens here at Radio Sai, even the questions we ask and the answers that come? So thank you, Brother Yoga Kumaran Nadraja, for sharing that with us. And please continue to stay tuned to Thursday Live. Prem is coming up next with the answering booth. Till then, please enjoy some music.
Shri Jagadishuni, Sarveshuni.